Blog Talk Radio.
Hello, this is Jake Gagone again from Shaguna First Nation on Manitoulin Island in Canada. Shaguna, Ontario, North Central Ontario. I'd like to just maybe talk and just expand a little more on what we talked about last week and or last time I talked with you.
Okay. Well, I want to welcome you to the show. Thank you for joining us on Silver Indians the floor is yours to speak, and we're all excited to listen to you talk.
Oh, yeah, okay. One of the things I shared last time is we're talking about herbal medicines. People are just beginning to go back to the culture, and like I said last time, also it's no fault of our own. They meant to abolish our traditional ways, and up here in Canada, up to the 1950s, our ways was outlawed and it was against the law to practice our culture or anything like that. And the reason being, they wanted to try to take our spirituality away, where we could no longer connect with our spirituality. But as everything began to unfold here, we have taken that interest back in our culture again. So like I say, all the plants out there, in our language, we say the mog and the duck, and that means all our relatives. So as we work with the plants and that, the plants is what helps us, and it cures the sickness. And I don't know if I shared with you last time, I went to a workshop in Washington, D.C., and the people that were running the workshop were saying that a lot of the medicines that they have now, it just works the opposite way of the sickness. It doesn't really heal. They say it's they have antifungal, anti-this, anti-that, and it just works the opposite way of the sickness, and so it doesn't really heal. And with our people gathered medicines for whatever it is to whatever kind of sickness or ailment we have. And what happened is we communicated with that plant through our tobacco, and we offered that tobacco with everything that we've done. And I always tell people it's not because Native people are religious or holy, but it was because that was our way, and that's how we kept connected with the plant world. So we offered our tobacco. We always offered our tobacco to the plant, and the plant asking for the spirit of that plant to go. Because if you look at some of the plants, they have taken out there. They don't do that, even though they just go after the chemical content of the plant and that. So it doesn't really, it stops working after a while because that spirit is no longer there, and you don't see people that are hired by government or whatever to, gathering the plants or medicines and asking for the people to pray to the plant and asking that the plant to help them. But we offer our tobacco, and that's what kept us connected with that plant world and the spirit of the plant. And that is the important part. When we gather our medicines, we offer our tobacco, and the tobacco helps the people stay connected. It's only when we forget to do that, then the medicine doesn't work as good as it really supposed to. So So what happens is eventually the plant stops working altogether, and that's because the people haven't offered their tobacco. So our people offer tobacco. It doesn't matter what we picked. You know, if we gathered seeds, we offer our tobacco and give thanks for that. And we talk to that plant and we tell it how it's going to help us or how we want it to help us. And so we're connected with the spirit of that plant, whether it's picking sweet grass or whether it's picking sage or cedar, any of these things. That's what how our people stayed connected with that. And it really helps us also because one of the teachings we have is we are half land and half spirit. So the spirit, it is our spirit that needs to connect with that plant world. And just by offering that tobacco, that's what we do. We offer the tobacco and then we're connected with that plant. So that plant continues to work with us and help us. And as our people go back into our culture, sometimes that prayer is so important to talk with the plant, and it helps us more stay more connected with it spiritually. So I think that's a big difference in Western society or Western culture, that they don't do that. And the only reason being is they can't see the plant having a spirit or life force within it. You know, sage is growing outside. It has a spirit because it's growing. It's alive. And when we don't acknowledge that, it stops helping us after. So we need to continue to offer tobacco as part of our relearning of our culture. So I feel it's really, really important that our people need to get back into doing that. Or not only our people, any people. And give that tobacco. And I think for everybody that our way is universal and that it belongs to everybody, and spirituality is a way of life. It's not something that's just restricted to Native people or anything like that, but everybody should be doing that. Because if you look at some of the medicines that are out there, sometimes people pick the medicines right till they're picked out in certain areas. And one of the things our people have always done is we offer our tobacco, and that reminded us that we don't do these things, like don't pick the wipe everything right out just because it goes abundantly or whatever, you know. But we just took whatever we need, and that's what our people have always done. We always just took what we needed to help ourselves and everybody else. And what I've noticed is a lot of families had different medicines hanging in their homes and, you know, to dry. And then like the stuff like weka or calamus root, we use that for colds. We also use that for when our people used to sing on like powwow or whatever, drumming, and you'd sing so much that your throat would just, your vocal cords would just couldn't take it. And when you chew on that root, it's like it just brings your voice back. And one time we had a powwow here in Northern Ontario, and somebody forgot to pack that weka, that calamus root, and we went to powwow, and everybody's looking for it after, and we couldn't find it. Being in Northern Ontario, we're only one of the main drum groups there, so we're doing a lot of the songs and a lot of the specials and everything. So after a while, everybody's voice is starting to wither or whatever, you know. But somebody's kept digging around there and begging, and they found a piece of that root, and everybody starts chewing on that. You can just hear the difference, like both voice start coming back and everything. So with the
do you feel if people were more aware of tobacco associates and the other root herbs with each other, and they actually understood it and respected it more, do you think that it would be a more balanced sex?
Yeah, I feel it would be. Like I say, if we offer our tobacco, all people have offered their tobacco, that plant would be more useful and more helpful, because when you're offering the tobacco, you're asking the spirit of that plant to come with it. And it's the spirit that helps people. So what happens is if we don't take the root or whatever, then just like we went to that powwow, our voices would be going out, and it would be hard to continue singing in that. But if we have the root with us, the root is going to really help our voice box or whatever you call it, vocal cords or whatever, and it helps that, eh? So like I say, and plus the potency of the medicine is so important. Like I say, when we offer that tobacco, that root comes, that spirit of that root comes. And one of the things about calamus root too is the FDA in the States classifies that as poisonous, but it's not poisonous. We've always been taking it for time immemorial, you know. And we don't look at it as being poisonous, but it's a part of what we do. And I kind of think a lot of these medicines that we used to use on a regular basis, they try to classify it as poisonous or whatever, so we'd stop using it. But our people, like I say, our people are returning to the culture, and they're looking for these ways again. And even with that relationship we had with the plant world and everything, so we done that by offering our tobacco. And some people will even go out fasting to learn more about things and about that plant. And sometimes they'll come in dreams. They'll be shown what they need to do to take that. Eh? So one of the things I'd like to share with people today or this evening is about medicine. And I think mainstream society or Western society has tried so hard to abolish our ways, and they wanted us to always look at our ways as bad and was no good and it was devil worship and everything. It's not. So hoping that we'd stay away from it. But like I say, our people are going back to our ways, and it's beginning to help us reawaken our spirit, reawaken with these changing times. Because like I say, you know, they talk about Western medicine as the medicine, but like I say, a lot of it is just allopathic medicine where they can't really use it because they're not connected with that plant and that. And then, like I say, it just starts making people sick when they try to use it. So the plants really work in its own mysterious ways, or however you want to put it. And like I say, the plants, everything is medicine out there. And every plant and every tree in that had a purpose. So if you look at a lot of the stuff we know about our medicines, we're just like scratching the surface, because it's so vast, you know. And the people have lost so much, but like I was saying earlier, sometimes you go around different places and you see different medicines hanging on their walls, you know, what they use. And there's one over here, we have sumac, and the sumac you could use works like an antiseptic. Like it, if you gargle with it because you have sore throat, it helps kill the germs within your own body and that. Like I say, it really works good. And then if you really look at some of this sumac there's one there that, you know, you always see the red cones out here and there when you're driving around. You'll see it on the sumac trees, and the birds start eating it at this time of the year. But in the spring and that, when you look at these plants, sometimes there's ones that they look like green. And tips of that sumac is like a green color, and it looks like curly little leaves on the flower part. And then that's the one that we use for diarrhea, and that, like, we picked that for diarrhea, but it was for colds, it was for flu, it was for all kinds of things, yeah. So we even have a man from Manitoba. He's since passed on, but around 2010 he had a dream that a sickness was coming, and he had gathered three different kinds of plants, and then when he started to gather these things, and the place that was helping him do this was Anishinaabe Health in Toronto, Ontario, and they sent people out to gather this medicine, and then he had a dream that there was three more medicines added to it, and that's supposed to help with that pandemic so the sickness wouldn't bother the people, eh? And all they had to do was have that medicine with them and mix it with all equal parts. And it really helps, I feel it really helps people because it's like we're not left hanging, like going to fight the sickness or anything like that. But a while back there, about, I guess, going on a month now, a lady came to the sweat lodge here from Southern Ontario, and she got sick, and she messaged me, and she told me that she went for the COVID test, and what happened was she went for this COVID test, and she tested positive for it because she said she had lost her sense of taste and smell, and she was telling me that she couldn't afford to be off work too long, so whatever time was recommended that she stay put, she done that, and plus I sent her medicine, and because where she was at was Sarnia, down by Port Huron, and Port Huron would be on the other side of the river, on the American side, and I sent her some cedar, and what the cedar does, the cedar boughs, they make tea out of the cedar boughs, and the cedar boughs helps, one of the things they said was it makes the blood boil. So when it makes the blood boil, then it makes you sweat. And they said a lot of things about the sickness, that it couldn't, it had a hard time with the heat. So, and then there was another medicine that grew like north of here off the Manitoulin Island. It's a little wee mint plant. It's maybe about 3 to 4 inches. And that's, again, that's what they used to make. If you got the chills or anything like that, what happens is they just make tea out of that. And that plant was, we call it Nemeshkos. And when they gathered that medicine, an old man that was telling us the story of how it worked was, he said that long time ago they're watching these sturgeon, these fish in a lot of these places over there north of here. The water is really deep, so it's just like a little shelf or something, and you could see those fish come out of the water, and if you know what a sturgeon looks like, the mouth is pretty far back on its body, on underneath, and because he's a bottom feeder, and they said he's coming up on shore, and he's trying to grab something, and then he slides back into the water, and he kept doing that, and they went and looked over there, and they wanted to see what this sturgeon was after there, and it was that little mint plant. So what happened is that's when they call that medicine, they say nameh is sturgeon. In our language over there, nameh. So we say nameshkons. And it's that, it's like saying it's that sturgeon medicine, you know? Mm-hmm. And like I said, that little mint plant doesn't grow everywhere. It just grew on certain, a lot of places. It was on the Niagara Escarpment. And it's just the chain of islands and that come up from southern Ontario. And a lot of those plants grew there. And again, that's what our people used to gather, and it helped them when they had the cold and flu season came along. And what it would do is make them sweat. Like if people were getting the chills in their body, and then what happens is they'd make tea out of that, and they'd drink that, and then make the body sweat profusely, and then and that's how they got rid of that sickness and that. So I sent this lady those two medicines, that nameshkos and the cedar, and she was saying she was feeling all right after that, and she wants to come back to a sweat lodge, but she said since she tested positive, I thought that other people should check and get checked out that were in the sweat lodge, and she brought her brother up from there, and she wanted to bring him to the sweat lodge, and he tested negative, and so I went for a test, because I was still working in one of the places that told me, they said, you need to go for that test before you come back to work. I said, yeah, okay, sure, I could do that. So I went for the test and came back negative. So I went back to work. So the plant really helps us up here. And like I say, I'm not too worried about this COVID stuff. As a matter of fact, I'm not even worried at all. But there's some people that are so afraid of it that, they can't seem to do anything because they're just so stuck in their fear and that they can't see anything else except the fear itself. So they're having a really hard time with the sickness and like some of the people, and I talked to certain people and they said, yeah, I there's days that are good, like I don't think about it, and the one lady says, but there are other days it's on my mind all the time and I just can't seem to shake it or whatever, and it's just people are just totally afraid of death. And in the past, that people were never afraid of death, because death just meant that you were finished learning whatever it is that you needed to learn, and our people were never afraid of death. And so a long time ago, death was a celebration, but if you look at it now, everybody cries at, and that goes to funerals and whatnot, they're all crying and feeling sad and everything, but like I say, I try and tell people, no, we don't feel sad. We just do what we need to do. And they say a long time ago also that when the babies were born, that's when the old people cried because the trials of life was just beginning for that little one. And they didn't know what they had to go through or live through or had to suffer from or anything like that, so they were always afraid. And with this COVID and everything, a lot of people, like I say, have bought into this fear, but like I say, there's certain parts of the society over here where people haven't bought into that, and they still come to the sweat lodges, and when we are practicing our lodges, I never stopped doing them. But I noticed how the people reacted. A lot of the people were afraid and that, so they wouldn't. After the sweats, we'd have a feast. Like I always cook soup for everybody, and then everybody would come in and eat some soup, and then they'd leave. But I noticed in the past, there a lot of times when people come to the sweat lodges, they just 8 and they ran, or like right after that, they didn't even stop to visit or, you know, talk. Sometimes they'd be going to their room to look for medicines if somebody needed certain medicines, and then I'd come back and everybody would be gone. Where's everybody? They already left. They got done eating and got left. So, like I say, everybody is afraid, and to me, that's a lot of that fear in itself is what attracts the sickness. So we try and keep the fear out of our own hearts, you know. But like I say, there's so much that we don't know, and but we as a people are beginning to go back, and to me, I think we need to do this in order to teach mainstream society again about what our people, our ancestors once knew about these medicines, and to rebuild that relationship that we had, because we know there's so many groups that have different teachings, and one of the teachings of the Medellin people was that when Creator created the Anishinaabe, he took four parts of the earth and he blew life into that one, and then they said they could feel that great spirit could feel that thing moving in his hand, and he looked in his hand, was that Anishinaabe, but all that other dirt that fell to the earth, they say it was the medicines that would help the people, and they said there would never be a sickness that they could not cure through the medicines, through herbal medicines. But like I say, it's a relationship that we as a people need to go back to those things to help ourselves and help other people. And but I think the respect needs to be there, where people need to offer that tobacco all the time and put that tobacco down, you know, asking for the spirit of that plant to come along. And some people smudge down and everything, make a real ritual out of it. And a lot of times people took only what they needed. They didn't over-harvest things. I remember I was working in Sault Ste. Marie, Michigan, and we went down to down by Lower Michigan there. And the one guy took us out picking wild ginger, and then in the language we call it Nemepin, and that we gathered that wild ginger, and it was one of the medicines we use to mix with other medicines, but it helped with the stomach. It helped with a lot of different ailments in our bodies, and there's one medicine that our people continue to make up here in ways, and it's called Abzichan, and there's like 16 different plants in there and roots, and they grind that up and they powder it all up, and then they offer that, you know, make an offering to that plant also. And one of the things, my sister was taking a course, and the healer that told me to do work, he was still alive at that time, and what happened was he told my sister, or my sister asked him, he says, those herbs that you buy in the store, is that spirit still there? And he paused for a minute, and you could tell he was thinking about it, and then he said, yes, that spirit is still there. He said, but you have to acknowledge it and smudge it down and whatnot, and tell it what it's going to be used for. So like I say, it's going back to the relationship we had with the plant world, and we have to start offering our tobacco and putting that tobacco down for the plants. And in some cases, our people smudge it, and it just helps us connect a little more with spirit. So, So like I say, we need to do that as people, and I think all peoples need to do that, to be respectful towards that plant world, that they'll offer tobacco and not just take big stuff and take it for granted. Because if you really look at a lot of these things, then they say there's no such thing as something for nothing, eh? So if you think about it, if you can imagine a imaginary box in front of you that's maybe 1 foot square, like a cube, and there's nothing there, how do you get something from nothing, you know? So that's one of the reasons why we offered our power tobacco and to that plant, and we asking that plant to help us. And like I say, that's the relationship we had with that plant world and everything. And there's so much more medicines that we use, like on a daily basis. Like there's more than just the sweet grass and the sage and that. But we offer that jeter. And one of the things I was told, a lady from your area there, she said that jeter is what helps bring the day. So usually people have it powered up, like dry it out and then power it up, and then they use that plant. And so what happens is she offers, like getting ready to do smudge or something, you put a little bit of that cedar on there, and that's what like one of the teachings she gave us was cedar helps bring the day. So we sprinkle a little bit of that that cedar boughs on the sage or whatever, and it gives it a different aroma and everything, but it also helps us stay connected with everything that's around us. So, like I said, it's really important to offer the tobacco, and the tobacco is, there's many forms of tobacco, different forms of tobacco, and the one our people grew, here was this domestic stuff, but it was just a little wee plant that didn't go any higher than 2 feet high, and it had a lot of seeds on those little pods too. It's like a couple of hundred seeds, like, so there's like pepper in those little pods, and that was that plant. And not everybody could grow tobacco, and they see a long time ago what they used to use, that green tobacco also was used to kill head lice. So they just boil that up in a big pot, and they use that water to rinse their hair, or they put it in the hair, and they let it sit for a while, and then wrap up your hair for a bit, and then that plant would kill off those head lice and that. So the green tobacco is really important, and like I said, not everybody can grow it. It's just like, seems like people with green thumb or that offered their tobacco and, you know, show the greatest respect for plants. That's who could grow those things, eh? So people usually had that growing in their yards too, and or some around, or they always knew who could get it or where they could get it from. And again, when they got tobacco, when they got traded medicines, but they also gave that tobacco as part of the gift. And the tobacco was just, again, speaking for the spirit of that plant, and they're asking it to go with them, to come with them and help their families in time of need or whatever, eh? So like I say, with the medicines, it's really really helpful for our people to go back to those things, and I think all peoples need to look at plants as the way the native people used to look at the plants with the greatest respect, and we didn't hoard things, or, you know, like I said before, like we didn't, if we found a patch of weekend or whatever, we didn't stay there right till we pulled every single plant out. You know, we only took what we needed and then left. And And we tried those things, and we, what they used to do is they used to put a, get a needle and thread, and they'd poke a hole through each root, and they'd make it on going like a big long string, and then that's how they just hang it up in their house, and then as they needed, they just went and broke it off, and that's what helped, like you say, with the coals and everything like that, and even helps helps enhance the whole digestive tract in that. And there was, I don't know if I spoke about this last time, we also have a little plant that we use for the children when they get colicky when they're babies. And my grandson was like that also. He got colicky and just like whatever he ate, like especially if he's drinking his milk or whatever, that he ended up throwing that up, you know, and he'd be crying all the time. And then, but to make that tea out of that little yellow root, and then you make the tea, and just get a little eyedropper and give it to him through an eyedropper, and that strengthens their whole digestive tract. And then after a while, he never had that problem. And also, my friend, neighboring community, his son was the same way, and I told him about that, and I said, no, we don't get scared to give them the medicine, but, you know, otherwise the baby's always going to be crying and cranky because he's having digestive problems. So when he got the plant, he made the tea and he started giving it to his little guy, and that problem went away. Problem solved. But I also heard one of my friends that when he was still alive, he had his one daughter, and he was saying that she would not stop crying after she ate, and you know, it was almost driving them bonkers there. So I told him about that, and she just gave her some golden thread, and he gave it to her, and problem solved, you know. Mm-hmm. So it just makes the whole digestive tract a lot stronger, and it helps the babies. And with that golden thread, you said it looks like a little shamrock, but you get it out in the woods where it's real, a lot of moss and everything. And what you do is you just go around and you flip over that moss, and you can see little yellow roots. Like they just look like little string, and you just pull them out one by one and just gather them like that, and then you let it dry. And that's how you start using it. So that golden thread is really important, like you say, for babies that are colicky and things like that. But like I say, with all the medicines that are out there, we need to go back to those things, because I believe that it helps more than modern-day medicine. And when they talk about modern-day medicine, what do they mean, modern-day medicine? It's only been around for the last, 100 years, whereas with our relationship with the plant world, and before Christopher Columbus got here, you know, in the New World in North America, that's all we ever had, and we never had no hospitals or anything like that, because we cured our own people, we helped our own people, and our medicines can do those things, and all we need to do is learn how to be thankful, and people need seeking help or whatever, you know. One of my teacher that was from Red Lake, Minnesota, as a child, he said he got sick, and his dad and I'm taking him over to Montana for healing, and he said, he was telling me, he said his dad returned there for 4 springs in a row every year. And he took that man, Gibson, the man, the healer, told him, no, you don't need to do that. You already paid me. You know? And he says, no, this is what I want to do. This is my own gratuity, you know. So like I say, people, I've seen so many people in my work that I've done as a healer, and he being given another chance at life, like he helped pull things out like cancer and whatnot. And so when you do these things, and what happens is is you think a lot of people would come back and say, oh, you know, what you done for me or how you helped me. And, you know, I'm really thankful for this. And, you know, I'll do whatever I can to help other people or whatever. But no, nobody ever come back. And there was only very few that would acknowledge those things, you know, that what we've done in that. And and one of the things that we have to realize also, like, I don't know if I spoke about this last time, but there was a thing like with witchcraft and where people were afraid of medicines and afraid of people who followed these ways, especially a lot of the old people, and thinking that they could do something to harm them or hurt them, so they would just stay clear of them, they wouldn't bother them, they wouldn't say anything or anything. Because that's what Western society has taught our people, you know, that our ways were bad and there was no good and it was devil worship and bad medicine and everything. And I always tell people there is no such thing as bad medicine. Everything is good in this life, and it's just people who choose to try to use good things in a bad way. So you always, the people need to keep that in mind. There is no such thing as that bad medicine. And even though people are talking about, oh, so-and-so does this, it's not good what they do or whatever, you know. Again, they're just bowing down to fear, something that don't really exist, but they're just making it come alive by talking about it in that negative way. So we don't need to walk around with that fear and always looking over our shoulders to see if there's somebody following us or some sending things, you know. Mm-hmm. And it's sad because, like I say, that was part of the assimilation attempts by the church to drive us away from our culture and that, saying that our ways was no good and it was bad and everything like that. But you know, quite to the contrary, it's actually good because that's what our people are finding, that liberation through the ceremony, you know, whether it's through sweat lodge. Like I say, we've done sweat lodge earlier on today, and you know, and everybody feels, I think one of the things that people need to also consider, or, you know, if you say you're going to go to a ceremony like a sweat lodge or something and help out or do whatever, you know, you try to do those things. You don't just say those things and then all of a sudden you change your mind. Oh, I'm not going to bother going. No, if you say that you were going to do things, you've done it. And one of the things from the past is all we ever had was our word. Like, if we said we were going to do something, we'd done it. So, like I say, if we said we were going to take part in a sweat lodge or whatever, then our people done that, you know. We didn't have anybody to ask us, you know, phone us back up and say, hey, you said you were coming over. And no, we don't. Like I say, if people say they're going to come, they'll come and over to the lodge and take part in that. And I'm trying to make it a thing there, and I try and remind the people, like, if you're going to come to the sweat lodge, come. If you're not, then don't say, oh, I'm going to come, I'll be there next time you have a lodge. Because like they say, I wrote about this on Facebook, and people say they're going to come to the sweat lodge and they don't show up, you know, and you get disappointed, and sometimes it, try and put off the lodge as long as you can, because, like, over here, you got to travel a long ways to go to a sweat lodge. Like, I have people coming from Perry Island. That's, when you drive up here, it's, like, probably a little over three and a half hours to get over here, and then there's people that come over from Sudbury, like, Native people that live just outside of Sudbury in one of the reservations there, and that's an hour and a half. So, like I say, we try and have the lodges in the daytime, and then everybody will come over and take part, and they'll eat and everything, and they'll be on their way, hopefully before dark, and they'll, you know, get a good distance before it gets dark. this evening I had a couple, an elderly couple that came over, and they came over from the west end of Manitoulin here. And to drive one way, it's a little over an hour, maybe an hour and 15 minutes. And then when you're driving, there's a lot of deer along the way, so you really got to, everybody's got to watch for animals that you don't end up smashing into deer or smash up their vehicle, like, because the distance, like they say, the distance they travel to come over here for that lodge. So, and even at the lodge, like, people got to realize too, like, when you travel, you also put your tobacco down, you ask for that tobacco to go ahead of you and clear the way for you so you don't get into any accidents or no deer hits you or things like that. But if you don't do those things, then next thing you know, you end up banging into deer or smashing your vehicle or whatever, you know. Mm. Or these animals, like a lot of times we are traveling with this one guy and we hit a, I don't know if it was a raccoon or something, but he stopped to take a look at it, and first thing the guy jumped out right away, and he took his tobacco holder, and he took the animal and ditched her, and he put a little bit of tobacco there, and he just apologized to the animal for us hitting him, like we didn't plan to hit him, or we didn't go over this, or that trip just hit that animal, or anything like that, but the animal crossed our path, so we, you know, we didn't do it intentionally or anything like that, but then he's over there offering tobacco to the animal and apologizing, you know, or you didn't meant to do this, we're sorry, you know, and sorry you've taken your life or whatever, you know. Mm-hmm. And I think that's what people need to continue to really, really look at in life is that we need to always keep our tobacco with us, and tobacco is our medium for communicating with the world that we can't see with our physical eyes. So it's there to help you give thanks, and even for the day that comes each day, or people offer that tobacco even before that sunrise, and not, like you say, not because they're religious or holy, but because it was just a way that they done that, where they offered, they put their tobacco down and give that thanks. And for, you know, speak for everything, or try to speak for everything, you know, if they go and travel, you know, they did mention that in their offering, you know, I'm going to be traveling today, got to go to Southern Ontario or whatever, you know, Mass for a good trip and things like that, you know. Mm-hmm. Or if we go into the States or whatever, it's the same thing, you know. Offer the tobacco. Ask that no animal comes across. And, like, if you look at a lot of places in Michigan and Minnesota, I guess where these are at, and lots of deer around everywhere. So when you offer that tobacco, it's just like those animals know you're coming because you're connected with them spiritually. And it just helps us so much more in this life to offer that tobacco. And that tobacco is always there to give thanks. And like I shared with you earlier on, we do not pray because we're religious or holy or anything like that. We offer tobacco because we're spiritual. We are spiritual beings having this human experience. So we offer that tobacco to help us understand life a little more as you go along each day. And if you think about it, like a lot of people think, just because they go to school or attend university or whatever, they think they know it all, but no, that just scratches the surface on knowledge and that. And a lot of the knowledge is what you pick up each day here and there, learning to help guide you or yourself and your family or whatever. And how to be safe and how to be human, you know. Mm-hmm. So like I say, we've done that every day from time immemorial, offered that tobacco. But like I say, for the longest time, our weeds were outlawed, especially here in Canada, and where it was against the law for people to practice their culture and that. And no fault of our own, because that was a ploy for the foreign people to, that was a reason to take their land and that, you know. I think I spoke on a little bit on that last time, the terra nullis, where they say that's the only way that they could take the people's land, if they could prove that they were godless. But seen so many writings from Jesuits and say, no, we don't need to try to teach these people about God, because they already have a relationship, and it's probably so much more than what we believe and what we see and everything. But now, as it goes longer, people are just trying to go around that and everything like that. Like, you don't want to acknowledge the way we once were and the relationship we had even with that great spirit. And our people always acknowledge that we are here because of that. Our spirits were here at this point in time, and this is what help us learn in that. And if you really look at this whole earth on a global scale, like, it's at the point of almost self-destruction, because of all these things, our people have forgotten to do these things and how to acknowledge and be respectful for life, you know. And we need to go back to those things, and we need to teach a lot of these people in modern-day society about respect. You know, I really honor our different nations, our different brothers and sisters like that stood up at Standing Rock and that a few years back. You know, and a lot of these people had no guns or anything like that, and it wasn't. They don't want to be violent, but what the U.S. government do, they try to squelch the people, they try to keep them quiet, and they don't want to show them or anything. Even different people that supported Native people at that time, like Johnny Cash and Neil Young and that, they wouldn't acknowledge those things that those people were trying to help the Native people, you know? Mm-hmm. And in the long run, though, whatever, what happened was when Trump became president, he just took that away from the people, and he just forced the army right in there to kick the people off that land, off their own land, sacred lands even. And that was not the way where people our ways are being at peace with each other. And the way I see it now is our people don't need to do all this, these great battles or anything. Like our people used to battle a lot before the coming of the foreign people, like prior to 1400s or whatever, 1492, that the people used to battle, but it wasn't battling over God or anything like that. And if you look at some of the greatest wars in this world, it's fought over religion and that. And like I say, our people already knew that, those things that they fought over was land, territory, where they gather medicine and gather food and like hunted and everything like that. They never had things, we're going to take the land because our beliefs are better than yours, or no, it was nothing like that. So they just battle over, like I said, rights for medicines and gathering food, and most of the time, and everybody knew where their property was. They didn't have their imaginary boundary lines like a Canada-U.S. border, but it'd be like mountains or whatever they used. You know, you can only go far down that mountain. You don't go any further than that. If you do it, and you're going into Sioux territory or things like that, and knowing that'd be the reason for battling. And a long time ago over here, in Northern Ontario, and they used to battle a lot with Sioux people, and also to the south, we battled with Mohawk people over territory, not over anything else. Like, not who looks at Great Spear more holy or way or anything like that. But we just done that for land, you know, with the land, how the land needs to. We need to become more connected again with the land. So that's what our people have always battled over. And it wasn't, like I say, we didn't battle just for the sake of battling or whatnot, because we're different tribes. But it was land that we were going to use for gathering our medicines and our food. So like I say, we aren't over there just fighting other people or groups just because the color of their skin or what they believed or what they saw. And it was nothing, never about that. It was just about, like, where we gather our food. And one of the things I just want to share with everybody is there was this one guy, his name was Shawan Osso. He fasted in a place over here called Dreamer's Rock. It's about, it'd be about 15 miles north of the island here, Manitoulin. And he fasted there, and he wasn't like a regular person where people would get their dreams after 4 days or whatever. So they kept going to see him, and he decided he was going to stay there longer and longer, and until something came to him. And they said last time they were talking with him was after 9 days of fasting, and then a big storm came that night, and he seen a serpent or a snake. It just looked like a regular snake. And he told him, "I want you to get on my back." And, you know, if you think about a snake, you know, modern day society always thinks, you know, they associate snake with devil and everything like that. But back then, our people never thought of it in that way. So that one told him to get on his back. And he, that guy, when he went there, he said, "You know, I can't do that. I'll end up crushing you or squishing you or whatever." And he told him, "No, he just get on my back." So he got on a position like he's straddling, like going to go for a ride. Almost like getting on a horse's back or whatever. And then what happened was he started to travel, and he went to a place east of that Dreamer's Rock in a place called Neopcom. And he said that he was shown talk with the Great Spirit, and the Great Spirit told him, "This is what's going to happen to you." He said, "This is what's going to happen to your people if they stop following their spiritual ways." So what happened was he seen a lot of the people, they didn't have no face, like they didn't have no mouths. Some didn't have no eyes, some didn't have no ears, and some of them didn't have no eyes, no ears, no mouth. So what happened was he told them what was going to happen to their people if they ceased to follow their traditional ways, like their spiritual ways. And to me, that's what's happening right now in that community, and because the people have lost respect for that, and it's like they're lost, but they're still Native people by terms of the government, given a government card, you know, a so-called status card that you're Native, and that. But other than that, they're not following their culture, and that's what's happening to them. And you try to talk to them, and they just can't seem to listen, or they don't know what you're saying, or whatever, you know? So that's what happened with a lot of these people in that neighboring community. So our people have to realize a lot of the things that what was given to them and continue to try to practice them in a good way, you know. And if not, it will be like those ones that have no eyes, no ears, and no mouth. Like, you can't see the goodness that's in the land and these spiritual ways. And, you know, we can't hear the things, or we can't speak of them because we're not connected, no longer connected spiritually. And I think that's what the message was when this man fasted there. And what happened, what dawned in that dream was, you see, that time is different in that spirit world. And now, so what happened was he traveled over to that place, and he was showing these things and everything. And then when he came back, what happened was nobody recognized him, because when he came back, he was an old man. The only one that could really identify him was his grandmother, and his grandmother was summoned, and she was told, you know, who he claimed he was, and she came and looked at him, and then she says, yes, this is Shawan Asway. So what happened was they practiced their ways, and what they were supposed to do every spring was to get a cedar tree and peel all the bark off and then stand it up, and then they put their offerings on there. And one of my friends here, she was working on land claims here, and they were talking about a long time ago that Jesuits were writing about that they came to a gathering that was happening there in the spring, and they were supposed to do that every spring with that tree. And to gather that tree, and then the people would come, and he said that there were so many canoes there that she was her mode of travel way back then. And he said that those Jesuits counted over 500 canoes. And they said that. And they were doing a ceremony around this tree, they said, and, you know. So that's what they were told to do each year, to gather to get that tree and take the bark off it. Hang offerings off of it, and you know, then be their connection to that spirit world. But like I say, you know, with that community now, they follow Catholicism, you know, Catholic religion. So they no longer have that spiritual connection, and communities full of problems, full of sickness and that. So that's really hard when you really look at a lot of our culture, because people are so disconnected spiritually. But I think as people go on here, they can do that themselves. They can learn how to be respectful by using a tobacco and always acknowledging that plant life, that plant has every right to live just like everybody else. And if we need their help, we offer our tobacco and give our prayer, and we ask that plant to help us with whatever ailment, you know. So to me, that's the interesting part of things, and it can really help people, and it can help us come closer to that spirit world, because like I said earlier, we are half land and half spirit. So we need to look at the relationship that our people had with spirit, because we're that spiritual being having this human experience. So we need to find those things that help us reconnect with the spirit of life. And to me, the spirit of life is the great spirit. So that great spirit is in every single plant, every tree, you know, every blade of grass or whatever, you know. So we stay connected in that way. And like I say, we look at the importance of the culture and help nurture these ways. And I think, to me, the culture is universal, and it needs to be taught to everyone to be how to be respectful of life. But you look at some of the things like in this modern day society, you know, they're just ripping things out of the ground and showing no respect whatsoever. So when they put down their tobacco and then they say a prayer for that, you learn to respect all life, not just what you want to acknowledge or anything like that, but it was for everything, how everything that kept us alive and sustained us, you know. Mm-hmm. So I think our hour is up now.
It is. I appreciate you coming on and talking to me at all. That has been very interesting. So, and I appreciate it.
Well, I certainly hope that it can help people become more spiritual, be more mindful of spirituality, how it exists, and, you know, and like I say, it's not here to conquer the world, but it's more like for us to become more at peace with ourselves, because we acknowledge spirit, that we are part spirit also, and then our spirit has come here to learn certain things in this life. And I mean, help other people learn also, other people's, you know?
Mm-hmm.
Yeah.
Thank you.
All right. Do you have any questions?
No. Actually, I felt it better to just sit and listen.
Yeah.
And that's what I did. I listened and I'm thankful that you came on and talked as in depth as you have.
Yeah. Well, I guess that's how we all learn too, is listening, but we also learn by putting these things to use, you know, like I say, for people and all people to be respectful of life, not just human life, but we need to be respectful for life of a tree or different plants. Like we just, like I say, we were gathering that weekend or that calamus root. We're in Michigan. We were just happened to go over to this place called Grand Island from Munising, and there was a lighthouse there, and we went there, and I was looking at these reeds, and I was thinking to myself, holy, that looks like the weka, or what the Latin name is, calamus root. And, you know, geez, if that was calamus root, we could really use it, because it's hard to find in some places. And our people, like you say, our people weren't just gathering things like crazy to make money off it, but we used that for trade, and that was what we used to do in the past. Like, and you got a word for that in the language. It's called, how to say is that is mishtonge. And then we always traded whatever we needed, and I could remember that as a child. My mom would say, oh, can you go down the road there and go and trade with this person, ask them if you could get some sugar off them, yeah, you'd trade some salt or whatever, you know. So we have to keep in mind that our people had that relationship, always had relationship with each other, like, and the plants and everything, like, we acknowledge things because we use them for trading, you know. Like I say, some places you used to go to, you could see plants, different plants that they gathered, and if you knew what they were used for, you could, and if you had calamus root, you'd go over there and say, or with the weekend, you'd say, oh, could you get some of that squirrel's tail, they call it, the chitamozawanak, that's what they call yarrow, eh? Because the plant, its leaf looks like a squirrel's tail. And that's how it got that name. And I remember my teacher, when he was giving that talk, he's talking about these things. And that's what we talked about, was that the meshkos and that yarrow and that, you know. So this is what we used to use for medicines, and this is how we talked about these things. And And like I say, if we didn't know about it, we would ask different people, talk with different people, and that's how all that knowledge stays alive. And when we all share it with each other, you know. So all is good, you know.
Thank you again for coming on and speaking tonight. I'm sorry if I get hope that you all took something from tonight's show. And we'll see you again on Wednesday. And thank you for coming on. It was a very informative show and very, very interesting. I mean, I just continued to listen and I've learned quite a bit. I appreciate that. Thank you.
Oh, yeah, okay. Yeah, I don't know why each time I come getting ready to do the talk, I just think, I don't know if I can last an hour, but now I look at the clock, it's an hour plus 10 minutes past, so. So all is good, and I hope the people in that area where you are at, you know, that you can use some of the things that was shared, and that they can become more respectful to everything in life, you know, especially the plants, because, like I say, when that creation story where Creator took four parts of the earth, and that's how he made Anishinaabe. But they also said that all the dirt that fell back to the earth, that would be all their medicines that they'd ever need, and there would never be an illness that came that they couldn't cure, you know?
Mm-hmm.
Yeah. So like I say, I really hope your people in your area and that could use some of the things that we talked about and the things that we shared, and you know, we need that to help us look at life differently, eh? Because if you look at it the way everything is going now, it's not really helping. People are damaging the earth. People are sort of like killing themselves because they don't have that respect for life. So as they learn or relearn about the culture, native culture, I think everybody could learn things from native culture. And not because we're trying to overcome the world, but it's just the right thing to do, you know?
Mm-hmm.
Yeah.
Absolutely agree.
Yeah.
Well, I'm going to wish you a good night.
Okay.
Come on. I really didn't. I mean, I had no questions at all. Getting an amazing interview this evening.
Yeah. And if you look at the native language and everything, like when we have our beliefs in the spirit world and everything like that, and when people pass on, we don't say goodbye, because goodbye makes it sound like it means forever. We always just say ba mon pi kwabman, which is I will see you later. That's all it means. So when people pass on, that's all they ever said was ba mon pi kwabman, yeah. We'll talk to you later, or we'll see you later, yeah.
Mm-hmm.
So like I say, even with the native languages, and it's a spiritual language also. And if you look at native language also, there's no swear words in there. And if there is any, it was just something that was made up by people. And like it wasn't there like from a long time ago. So they say our language is a very spiritual language also, like the language, because it always goes back to spirit, eh? And that we always acknowledge the spirit that's there, eh? So we become more respectful to everything that's all around us, and we start to make use of those things and use that to guide us as we move along through this thing called life, yeah? Yeah. And sometimes when we really look at these things, life was meant to be real easy, or, you know, that when it's real easy, then it's like there's no meaning to it. And, like, if you look at Native people, whatever they do, like for example, if they eat gathering wild rice, you know, it's a couple of day thing, or even a whole week long, or even a couple of weeks to gather these things and to dry it and take the husk off and everything, you know.
Mm-hmm.
It's a big ceremony within itself, and there are no shortcuts in Native culture. And that's how we learn to appreciate those things and how we change the value of things, because we know what it takes to gather these things and even to go and get medicine. Like, sure, I went down in the bush there before freeze up here, and I needed some of that calamus root, and I couldn't see where it was anymore, but I knew exact area where it was. And, you know, I had to go in there, and sometimes we'd take our shoes off and we'd go in there, and that water would be just numbing cold. That's how cold it is. And we'd still go in there and we'd gather the stuff, you know,
mm-hmm.
what we needed. And it just seemed to be more potent at that time also, eh?
You mentioned husk. From how does, what is the property for that as far as medicine wants?
Mm-hmm. Yeah, so I hope everybody hears the message tonight and begin to look at things differently and treat everything differently, like treat it with respect, you know?
Mm-hmm.
Yeah. Okay, so just let me know ahead of time again when you want me to do things. I don't mind doing this like at this time of this evening, even though I forgot about it. I heard the phone ring. I was going down to make some fire, and when I came back up, my wife was holding the phone and says, "You're supposed to do that talk show." And, oh, okay. I remember now. I fell asleep earlier because we were watching TV, and like I said, we had sweat lodge this evening, so it took a lot out of me. And but like I say, this is a message I would like to convey to people, and hopefully our people will use some of this knowledge that can help them find themselves a little easier, you know?
Mm-hmm. Hope so, too.
Yeah.
It was a great show. Thanks. And I'm going to wish you a good night. And mm-hmm. instead of saying bye, I'll see you later.
Uh-huh. Okay, so like I say, I don't mind speaking like this late at night because I got no distractions, and over here it's 20 after 12. So yous are what, be 20 after 11 where yous are at?
It's actually 20. It's 20 after 12 here too.
No, it's 20 after 12 over here.
Mhm, and that's the time that I have.
Oh, okay.
We're on the same time zone.
Yeah. But like I say, I hope some of the people that are listening to your show that they will make use of these things, and you know, it'll help them become better people, you know?
Mm-hmm.
Yeah.
I hope so too.
Mm-hmm. Okay, so just let me know ahead of time when you'd like me to come back on. Like, I'm usually home on the weekends, but except next weekend I'll be out, so but you can just call me and try and set up a time or whatever, and then I'll make sure I'm there this time.
Okay. Okay. I will absolutely let you know the next time. And, yeah, definitely. I think it's good to talk about the different medicines and the things that they do for your body and how.
Yeah. Yeah, and I'd like to talk with people about spirit journey and that, and what I found was a lot of people that were grieving for people that are family members that have passed on, they're just doing what society taught them, and be sad and everything like that. But once you share things about spirit journey and that, and like when they journey back to that spirit world, that they don't have that sadness anymore because they know that the spirit doesn't die, eh?
Mm-hmm.
So maybe that's some topic we can talk on next time about when we get done. When we get done here in this life and we travel to the next one,
Mm-hmm.
And like I say, our people were never afraid of it. But like I say, with this thing with COVID, it's just so crazy because they're all scared. They're all scared of death, and our people are never afraid of death because death is a part of life.
Yeah.
Yeah.
Yeah, a lot of people don't think of it as a thing. It's not actually something.
Yeah. Again, that's what religion has taught our people, but when our people start returning to these ways, they don't have all that great sadness and everything when some family member passes on or goes on, or elders or whatnot, And some even know, have an idea when they want to leave. Like the one elder I really had the greatest respect for, he lost a lot of weight, and he said, I don't think I'll be living on too much longer. And sure enough, he ended up passing away. But his knowledge still lives on, because things that he has shared, eh? So I think that's what we need to maybe help people with next time. They won't be so afraid or anything, Because one time we had one of my grandfather on my dad's side. We would go and visit him, and when we went to visit him the one time, he couldn't remember us, and we told him all of our nicknames, what he used to call us when we were kids, and as soon as he told him, his face just lit up, and he'd sit there for a while there, and